Over the pandemic, many people sheltered in place, traveled less, and some barely left their homes. The isolation created a bubble and changed the way we interacted with not just other humans, but even nature. We continue our stories for the Get Out issue by exploring why nature, even within our neighborhoods, is important. Listen as Mild Sauce journalist Uriel Favela explores the Garden of Phoenix in his story, How Important Is It to Get Out?
Environment is important. Physical environment, at least, plays a bigger role in our mood than you think. It influences not only our mood, but our mental health. I think it's safe to say that stress and anxiety is the biggest obstacle we face. Personally, there's been times where my stress ruins my entire day and mood. According to the University of Minnesota, stress is an important medical condition, and exposing yourself to an environment that reduces that stress is key. With that being said, that can be easily alleviated by just going out.
I really feel like people have to start interacting more with nature. It's a way that people really get re-energized to go back into a society.
Daniel, age 24, strongly believes nature is a key solution to feeling better when undergoing stress.
When I was in seventh grade, I used to get bullied and I had a lot of anxiety. And so I would oftentimes like to go outside to play soccer, right? Because we had a really long and big yard. So we had, I think, about 2 trees. And we had a lot, like lots and lots of grass. But every time I would go out and I would play soccer, and I would like, even if I was just going outside and just sitting in the grass, it would just make me feel better. It would make me feel like something was right.
He remembers something as simple as taking a breath of fresh air and interacting with greenery made him feel better. According to the National Library of Medicine, exposure to green environments give many benefits, such as reduced stress, positive mood, less depressive symptoms, better emotional well-being, improved mental health and behavior, and decreased psychological distress in adolescence.
There was also another research conducted by an urban planner, I believe, and they started noticing that people who were confined to neighborhoods that were predominantly ruled by cement and was predominantly plastered by cement everywhere, it was scientifically proven that these people would experience higher temperatures within these neighborhoods. And these higher temperatures would affect with people's minds, thus adding to unusual behavior in humans, such as violence and domestic violence and things of the like. When you have a neighborhood that has trees, that has grass, it makes a neighborhood more fresh. It makes it less hot. And so making it, you know, less strenuous for the people who are living in that environment.
As someone who also majored in urban planning, he believes that exposure to nature in neighborhoods is crucial for the citizens. Mallory Richards suggests that lack of green spaces can cause a phenomenon known as the urban heat island effect. It causes areas to experience disproportionately higher temperatures and worse air quality than those who have exposure to greenery. Lower air quality can have a number of effects on the human population.
You know, a human came from nature. So therefore, whenever we are in nature, we have a connection, we have a liberation. And so it's not that they want parks, it's that we all need parks. It's not that we want nature, it's that we need nature.
Something as little as walking through a park can significantly increase your mood. For example, like Daniel, 19-year-old Jesus has benefited from nature as well.
After I didn't hear back from a potential employer, I was pretty bummed out. And after I went, I decided to take my dogs out for a walk. And that really seemed to brighten my mood.
Furthermore, Dr. Anson, who specializes in clinical psychology, recommends her patients to interact more with the outdoors.
It's recommended. I recommend people move their bodies, get out of their spaces, find a beautiful place to be, because it changes our physical and emotional state. Before people kind of understood fully and had language around mental health, people who are suffering from depression, people who are suffering from real difficulties, the remedy that doctors had was to go send them out into green space. And historically, that's what people did. They went out into rural areas in order to move past whatever the depressed or overly anxious condition was that they were suffering from. And I think that that is still holds.
A place here in Chicago that is known for its relaxing and calming atmosphere is the Garden of the Phoenix. It is located in Jackson Park, specifically Wooded Island.
My favorite part is the pond. I think that the pond adds an additional support to everything that's here in this garden. I believe that the fact that they have running water, like just sitting down with, you know, this quiet space and just hearing the water hit the rocks is just so calming, so harmonious. In the summer, they do bring fish and they put them in the pond. And so the fish even add on to that support that I was just talking about earlier. It makes it way more harmonious. It makes it way more as though if you were in nature itself.
This garden is a Japanese-inspired garden, symbolizing the mutual respect and friendship that Japan and the United States initiated more than 120 years ago. It includes a beautiful and calming scenery of cherry blossoms, a running river, and a waterfall. According to the Chicago Park District, the Japanese government built the Ho Oden as its pavilion for the World Columbian Exposition. The World Columbian Exposition was a world fair dedicated to commemorate Christopher Columbus's coming to the Americas. It was held in Paris, which is why the Eiffel Tower was built, and here in Chicago. Chicago had a creative idea to create a whole island known as Wooded Island and create exhibits that represented each of the world, for example, the Japanese garden. Every building was made in white stones, giving the nickname the White City to Chicago. A building that was once known as the Palace of Fine Arts and now known as the Museum of Science and Industries still stands. However, despite the rich history and scenery, the Garden of the Phoenix is known for its quietness.
What I like about this park is that it's very peaceful and it helps you relax as you're strolling through it.
What happens if you refuse to go out? Well, senior lecturer Sarita Robinson, who works for the University of Lancashire, suggests that isolating ourselves can be damaging to both our mental and physical health. Socially isolated people are less able to deal with stressful situations. They're also more likely to feel depressed and may have problems processing information.
The smaller we make our spaces, the smaller we make our lives, the less safe we feel, because the spaces in which we feel safe become really constricted and really small. And typically when we are living in small spaces, trapped spaces, there's obvious implications for how we feel, our mood state, our anxiety state, and that's detrimental to living in a mentally healthy way.
The brain produces certain chemicals like serotonin, which is responsible for our feeling of joy and happiness. We must find cues in our physical environment that satisfy our brain to maintain a comfortable state. However, in interacting with the same environment, it will unconsciously produce stress in the brain. As animals, humans must go out and interact with new environments to reach the desired state that our psychological mind needs. But many of people have the fear of going out. Dr. Anton suggests just taking that risk.
So I think that avoiding being, allowing our irrational fears to dictate what we do and don't do is always going to have a negative impact. Because then the longer we avoid things that are actually safe and good for us, the more anxious and fearful we become. And so the most critical thing is to expose ourselves to doing the things that we are nervous or scared to do. Because if we continue to avoid, we will only feel more scared and more anxious. So I think new settings, unfamiliar settings, things where there's some uncertainty will always provoke more anxiety. But most typically, as soon as people kind of cross the threshold to whatever that new space might be, whether they be social spaces or outdoor spaces or green spaces, as soon as you kind of just step over the line, that anxiety goes away.
She often gives the analogy of how can you be afraid of flying if you've never done it to her patients. There are more negative consequences of staying in than going outside, like Daniel said.
You have to understand that when you stay inside and you're depressed or anxious, you are trapped. You're trapping yourself and you're confining your spaces and your thoughts to one room. And you go outside, you have no limit, right? Because you're not confined anymore at that point. And it feels as though your thoughts can roam free.
Going out to free the mind is not something many people believe to be something beneficial. While technology may be to blame for facilitating our lives or the overall pandemic that made them comfortable staying in, we should still engage in connecting with the outside world. Although many people may have an irrational fear of exposing themselves to new environments, it is something that will bring a positive change to not only our physical, but mental health. Like Dr. Anton suggested, avoiding our fears will always provoke more anxiety as opposed to just facing it. So with that being said, go out, walk, breathe, and free the mind.
That was Mild Sauce journalist Uriel, who is now in college planning to balance his passion for psychology and culinary arts while still making time for nature. How do you get your nature fix? Are you an outdoorsy camping type, or are you fine with just watching National Geographic and chilling at home? Let us know by commenting below or emailing us at mildsauce@urbangateways.org. Thank you to Dr. Amy Anson, Jesus Rivera, as well as all the others that helped with this piece. Mild Sauce is made possible by support from the Abukanowitz Foundation and our friends at Vocal. Mild Sauce is from the Creatives at Street Level, which is a program of Urban Gateways. This story was engineered by audio coordinator Lisa Lust. Shout out to associate producer Takira Smalls and executive producer Matt Woods. Special thanks to our friends at Urban Alliance and Free Spirit Media.